Our vision for the church is that we may worship in the Spirit. I love what Wesley wrote. I think it sums it all up. Lost in wonder, love, and praise. Not just going on with the liturgy. Liturgy is wonderful. I think liturgy is great. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But not just going through the liturgy, but lost in wonder, love, and praise. That is my desire for myself and for you, that every time we come together, that will happen. Whether our service is informal, as it was last week, or more formal, as it is this week, that doesn't matter. It's what's happening in our heart that matters. I'm preaching a different sermon, so I'll stop at this point. But anyway, so that's one of the things, that we may worship in the Spirit, lost in wonder, love, and praise. That we will enjoy unity in the Spirit. That we will discern gifts, insofar as we don't know them already, and practice every member ministry. That we will do effective evangelism. That we will have an effective children's and young people's work. I don't know much about that at the moment, but I believe there's some good things going on. But this is our vision. And where things are already happening, that they'll go even better in the future. Now, how are we going to achieve that? Think for a moment. How are we going to achieve that? And I'll give you the definite answer: we can't. So shall we all go home depressed? No, that's not what I mean at all. We can't. Put the emphasis in. He can, God. But we can't. We can, you know, I could rabbit on, in case you hadn't already realized, I could rabbit on forever, giving, you know, talks about the Bible and so on. But it may not actually be what God is saying at that moment. I could go out in the street and try and meet people and talk to them about Jesus, but that may not be the most appropriate thing to do at that particular time. And we can lead worship, we've done it for many, many years, but it might just be going through the system rather than being lost in wonder, love, and praise. We cannot do these things that I've outlined to you, but God can. When the disciples were confronted with a demon-possessed boy, I don't know what you would do if you were confronted with a demon-possessed boy in Mark 9, they couldn't cast out the demon. And they asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind can come out only through prayer. What we can do is pray. I never cease to be overwhelmed by the fact that God can work out his huge, enormous, gigantic purposes through our little prayers. Our little prayers are just a few words. In themselves, they are nothing much at all. But God has ordained that he will use our little prayers in his great purposes. Isn't that fantastic? He could have just said, well, I'll do my own thing and ignore this lot. Maybe he's tempted to feel that at times, I don't know. But he's actually decided, let's make it personal, through your little prayers or mine, he's decided to work out his great purposes. He didn't need to do that. He doesn't need our prayers, but he's decided that's the way he's going to work. And most Christians frustrate him, because most Christians don't pray very much, and most churches don't. And you can actually get churches that are really switched on, and they're dancing in the aisles, they're big, they've got lots of young people and all the rest of it, but they don't really pray extensively. And therefore they're not enjoying all that God wants to do. I'm not saying they're not enjoying anything, but they're not enjoying all that God wants to do. So if you want a church like I very briefly described, and I certainly do, there is no way that Patricia and I have come here to keep the system going. If it's all about that, then I'll retire for the third time, and it might work next time. No, no, no. But it's actually to work in that direction. So if we're going to do that and see that happen, we must pray together. That's the 11th commandment. We must pray together. Now, it's great that we have prayers in this service, but that only lasts for 2 or 3 minutes. And what I'm talking about is something more extensive than that. We must pray together. I hope that really grabs you. I hope it rings a bell in your heart that you want to be involved in prayer and praying together. Let me say right at the beginning, I would never dream of forcing someone to pray out loud if they're not ready to do that. Let that be absolutely clear. But what I am doing is to challenge you that we pray together. You see, if you don't pray out loud, but you say amen at the end of the prayer, then it makes it your prayer as well. And we're agreed together. So the fact that you didn't pray out loud, apart from saying amen, in one sense, it doesn't matter. We are praying together. So let's look at the New Testament a little bit. I'm being unusual this morning because I'm not actually preaching on one text. I'm preaching on the whole New Testament. So I hope you haven't put your lunch on. but I'm going to be trying to be quite brief. First of all, Jesus was a man of prayer. He was always praying. He regularly spent nights in prayer. How many have we spent? I remember the first one I didn't spend. Around about 5 to midnight, our daughter started to arrive and I was called back home. I don't know how many nights of prayer you've had, but Jesus had plenty of nights of prayer. Quote, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. That's Luke 5:16. And Hebrews also says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears. With fervent cries and tears. That's not a man who said, dear Lord, please bless me today. Amen. And out the door he goes. No, I'm not saying that's valueless. It isn't. But Jesus did something way beyond that. So hang on a minute. If Jesus needed to major on prayer to achieve God's will, who do we think we are that we can do it without prayer? That's a real challenge, isn't it? In my private life, in my personal life, who do I think I am if I think I can get by without prayer? Who do we as a church? I'm not saying you don't pray, don't misunderstand me, but I think we do need to have a new phase of prayer together. Who do we think we are if as a church we think we can enter into all God wants to do in Brough and also in Stainmore if we're not praying? So Jesus was a man of prayer. Secondly, the early church was devoted to prayer. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Now, I'm sure that didn't mean 24 hours a day, but it meant they prayed so regularly that, you know, it seemed like they were always praying. And that's great. They devoted themselves to prayer, it says in Acts 2:42. And supernatural things happened. What a surprise. Because they prayed. Here's something from Acts 4. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this church was shaken one time and the Holy Spirit fell upon us? Well, whether or not that literally happens, the shaking, I want the other bit to happen, that the Holy Spirit falls upon us. And they made decisions in prayer. Do you know, have you heard the saying, God so loved the world he didn't send a committee? Well, committees have their place. I forget just what place they have, but anyway, they do have a place. I'm joking. But that's not the way that the early church prioritized. They came together and prayed and made decisions in prayer. Now, I am not knocking the PCC, not for a moment, and I'll try and respect the PCC as I am obliged to do so. But I don't want us to come together and just make decisions based on our own brilliance, because we'll get it wrong. I want us to make decisions based in prayer and listening to God. Now, I don't have time to go into listening to God at the moment. I'll do that on another occasion. But believe you me, it's not something mysterious. It's not something weird. It's not something supernatural in the frightening way. But we can actually pick up what God is saying together. And that makes such a difference. I can remember the prayer time that we had many, many years ago in our Essex parish. We came together because there was we had a church, a figure of eight. The parish was in a figure of eight. There was a church at one end, church in the middle, but not at the other end. And all of a sudden, a supermarket said they were going to build at that end of the parish. And I thought, why don't we try and ask them to incorporate a chapel or something so that we can have a centre of worship down at that end of the parish? And I rang them and they seemed interested. And they said, we've got a board meeting next Tuesday, and we're going to decide about this project and so on, and going ahead and all the rest of it. So I called the whole church together on a Monday, a busy church. We all came together, a large number of people, and we came together to pray only about this. And we started to pray. We did various things to get ourselves prepared. And then I opened it for people to pray, and there was absolute silence. That wasn't usual. And I began to wonder, hang on a minute, what's gone wrong? And then a little voice at the back said, I don't think we should be praying about this. At that point, I was about to resign as the vicar, or the rector, as I was in those days. And then someone else chipped in. Yes, I don't think we should be praying about this. And so we began to pray about that. What was the Lord saying? And we finished up not praying about that, but praying that evangelism would be effective at that end of the parish especially. And do you know what? The next day, we learned that the previous day, the firm had pulled out of building the shop, the supermarket. So we would have been wasting our time praying like that. God spoke to us. But it wasn't, we didn't hear a voice. It wasn't anything weird, but God spoke to us. Now, brothers and sisters, I want us to experience that, and it's not complicated. What we need is a sort of simple faith, a childlike faith. I'm going on too long, aren't I? But anyway, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for each church with prayer and fasting. They committed them to the Lord. Thirdly, and this is my last point, the New Testament tells us to pray. Pray continually, which is what the early church did. Pray continually. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Then Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, which we had read to us, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. That doesn't just mean a quick prayer on a Sunday morning. Do not be anxious, Paul says, about anything. Wow. But in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We are very good at worrying. We're not so good at praying. And the worrying would often go away if we prayed. Devote yourselves to prayer, says in Colossians 4:2, being watchful and thankful. So, brothers and sisters, we need to meet together regularly, and I suspect that means weekly, to intercede. Now, there will be other forms of prayer, which I'll go into on another occasion, but to intercede, to pray for things to happen, to pray for people, to pray for the church, as well as look at the Bible together so that we can learn more from the Bible. And we need to be doing that together. And if you love Brough Church, and I'd say the same to Stainmore, if you love Brough Church, come and join us. Because that will be the most important thing, second to worshiping God, that we do during the week. And out of that, those great qualities I began with will begin to develop. But if we don't, they won't. I can't do it. We can't do it, the two of us together. We have loads of experience, we have a lot of training, but we can't do it. And if you thought we could, sorry to disappoint you, but you won't be disappointed if we meet together in prayer and really do so. So I said, and I want to say it again, no one will be pressed to pray out loud if you're not used to it. You can forget about that, because that's just not going to happen. But we can, as I said earlier, all pray silently and join in with the prayers of others. And we can have some exciting times together, praying, listening to God, and reading his word. Some of you already know this. Others may be not quite so experienced. So we need to find the best time to do it. And so, what I have, and what I'm going to ask in a moment Judy to do, I have a little piece of paper for you to tick the times that we sort of could make, and let's try, if we can, to sort out when we come together as a church regularly. I haven't stressed reading the Bible. We will look at the Bible together, but also we'll be interceding together. And if we do that, God's going to bless us out of our minds. God's going to bless us richly. So I'm going to say a prayer, and then I'm going to ask Judy just to give out these little pieces of paper. You may even be able to complete it and give it to one of us before you leave this morning. That would be great. But we just need to find the time when it will be convenient, the best time, when we can meet together regularly to pray for the church to the Lord. So, Father, we do pray that we will pray. We pray, Lord, that you will encourage those who are not already involved in this sort of prayer to become involved and to realize that it's not boring and tedious, but it's exciting that you speak to us as well. And above all, that you work out your purposes through our tiny prayers. Lord, help us to be a praying church like we've never been before, so that we'll enter into all the blessing that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.